Blog Talk Radio.
Your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness.
Lord, just like the river that never runs dry, my heart is your temple. Lord, I need you closely, stay around. Lord, you're like the river that my heart is your temple. Lord, you are the air I breathe, keep me alive. Lord, I need you closely, stay around. Lord, I need you closely, stay around.
Stay around, though.
And only the heart will never be enough to show you how much I love you. But I'm gonna try, try.
Keep on trying. forever, Lord.
Come on, you say it, say it.
Because you've been that good to me.
Gonna love you forever. You want to just lift your hands and make this vow right now, say it. Gonna love you forever. Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Yes, Lord, we're going to love you forever because we're going to love your word. And to love you is to love your word. I thank you for it. Welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We come with thanksgiving in our hearts, and we truly asking each and every one of us to agree with this prayer, asking God for wisdom today on what to pray about, seeing what's all going on in the Middle East at this particular time on such a day as this. I'm just led to pray and ask God for wisdom. The Word of God is very clear on asking for wisdom. But before I do that, let me take a moment and thank God for forgiving us of all of our sins. Thank him for the word of reconciliation. Thank him for healing. Thank him for deliverance. Thank him for just being God in our life at such a time as this. And I definitely thank him for all the healing scriptures. Jesus is Lord over my life. Sickness and disease have no power over me. I am forgiven, free from sin and guilt, because Jesus knelt it on the cross, so I don't even need to deal with it. I am dead to sin and alive to his righteousness. And I pray everybody get that revelation. Instead of being focused on sin, Father God, teach us how to be focused on your righteousness. Teach us to embrace your righteousness, because Jesus bore my sins in his body on the tree. Therefore, I am dead to sin and alive unto you, Father God. And by his stripes, we are made whole. By his stripes, according to Romans 6 and 11, 1 Peter 2 and 24, and then 2 Corinthians 5, 21. So I thank you, Father God, for making Jesus to be my sin so I could have his righteousness. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that no evil will befall us. Neither shall any plague come near our dwelling. For you have given your angels charge over us in all of your ways. So I thank you for it. I thank you for keeping us in the pathway of life, healing, and blessing us, according to Psalms 91. Now, also, Father God, I pray right now for wisdom for this country. Your word says to ask for wisdom. The word is very clear on this, Heavenly Father. So we're asking for wisdom. Wisdom, truth, comes from you, Heavenly Father. Jesus is our wisdom. And it's been declared in the book of 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. So with that being said, Heavenly Father, we declare wisdom right now. Because of your wisdom, God, righteousness shall reign on earth and in earth. So I thank you, Father God, for Israel. As we pray for Israel, Heavenly Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, I pray Israel right today, Father God. We pray for Israel. Thank you that all of Israel will be saved according to Romans 11:26. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that Israel will have hope in you, Lord. That Israel have hope in you, Heavenly Father. That your redemption travel, according to Psalms 130:7-8. I thank you, Heavenly Father, you have taken away Israel's punishment. You have turned back Israel's enemy. So that's what I pray for right now, according to Psalms 130. Turn back the enemies that are against Israel and against America for the ignorance that they're trying to display. I thank you, Father God, that you're going to turn it back like your word says. I thank you, Father God, that even the kings of Israel is with you, Father God. I'm decreeing it and declaring it, Heavenly Father. Never again will Israel fear the harm of those that cause harm to her, because Israel is a light, is a beacon. You will take great delight in Israel, your word says. You will quiet Israel with your love. You'll take care of Israel, not man. So, Father God, we rejoice right now. And we will sing, Father God, that you will take care of Israel. Even though they're scattered about, the enemy have taken, put some here and some there. Father God, we believe right now, according to your word, that you will remember Israel. So Heavenly Father, thank you that you will give honor and praise among the people on the earth when you restore Israel future. And we're believing in that in the name of Jesus. And also, Father God, remember America. Give her the wisdom. Let her abide in your word. Let her abide in your presence. Let America realize that we have a place in this universe like none other. We are to be leaders and not followers. America are under your wings, Heavenly Father. And we know this. And we know that America will abide under your shadow of the Almighty. I know that, Heavenly Father. So I pray for the president of this nation, the executive branch, that the House will get its act together and elect a House Speaker that represents all of America and not just a few of America. I pray for the leadership that comes from you, Father God, the wisdom that comes from you. I pray, Father God, for our federal agent, commission, government, nation, all of them. I pray, Father God, that you will line them up according to your word. Even the member of our armed forces that's over there trying to help Israel right now. I know you'll do it because of your word, Father God. I see things in the spirit right now, Father God, that's saying it's time. Israel isn't being attacked. Your sovereign nation is being under attack. So I know, Father God, that you're in the midst of this, and you will straighten it out according to your word, Ezekiel 22. So I thank you for it. I ask these and all blessings in Christ's name. For his sakes, we pray. Everybody agreed, said amen and amen. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, continue today to, I believe in the prayer. Don't get me wrong. But when God hears his children, like any other parent, you know, you're getting his attention. Not that we don't already have his attention, but we want God to know that we're on his side. And whoever side with Israel, side with you. So we're siding with you, Lord, Heavenly Father. So I'm just saying to the people today is keep Israel lifted up in your prayers because the enemy has attacked. And that's a sign. When the enemy attacked Israel, That means that they're attacking Christ as well. I just want to put that little note out there for you and pray that, hey, everybody succumb to what the Word of God says, and especially right now, especially such a time as this. Okay, we are ministers of the reconciliation. That's what we minister of. But before we get into all of that, hopefully this week we'll cover some things, what make us ministers, why we can put confidence in it. It's so many things that we're going to cover about it. And now we're going to go back to the book of Colossians, the third chapter. And this is what it's going to take, brothers and sisters, for us to do this work that God have appointed us to do at such a time as this. We're going to have to dress up. See, a lot of times we look over there in Ephesians 6 and we talk about putting a whole armor, and that's good. That's for battle. But this is our everyday dress outfit right here. So in Colossians, we're going to be talking about our everyday attire. It's certain things as Christian you just should be dressed up in every day. Now, when you get ready to war, you put that stuff on in Ephesians 6, 11. You begin to put that stuff on, or Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. Then you put 18, you put all that stuff on. But as your daily attire, as what you would wear from a day-to-day basis, just like you wear your underclothes. That, look at it like that. That this is pretty much your undergarment, for a better way of saying it. And because we're ministers, this is why we're ministers of a new covenant. We're under a new agreement, a new contract, and God expects nothing less than this. Trust me and believe. The Word of God says. So we're going to start with, I guess we'll start with Colossians 3. And we'll read from maybe the 12th verse through the 17th verse. And if we don't unpack it all today, hopefully we'll do it by the end of the week. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Evangelist William if she'll read it out the King James Version, and Pastor to read it out of the Messenger. Thank you very much.
Yes, Pastor. Colossians 3:12 through 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And I stand in agreement with that prayer also, Pastor. Amen. Reading from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 17 from the Message Bible. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your heart out to God. Let every detail in your life, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Amen.
Amen. Not only is this for ministers, and let me put a pin there for a moment, and let me tell you guys why. Well, why this is so important? Because of the ministry. Remember we read over there in 2 Corinthians 3 and 3, for as much as you are manifest, declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not in ink, but with the Spirit of a living God, not in table of stone, but in fleshly tables of heart. Remember, we are lively. We are living stone. And I go on and talk about what Peter, but the point here, this is why people need to, do they need to see it? Yes. Because you're representing Christ now. So even Christian, a lot of times people don't know, well, what does it mean to put on the new self? It means that you conduct should match your faith. It means your attitude. If you are a Christian, you should act like it. Be a Christian means more than just making good resolution, good confession, and having good intention. A lot of people have good intention. But who wants good intention? If you got a quarterback, you don't want him to have good intention to throw the ball. No, you want him to throw the ball. You want more than good intention. If you got a wife, you want her to have more than good intention to cook. No, you want to smell some bacon or something. Last time I checked, intentions don't, it's not there. You don't want it. You want more than good intention. You want somebody to do it. You want more than some overalls. I thought I'd get a couple of amen from that woman. You know, a lot of times women talk about, no, that you ain't got nothing but a pair of overalls. Well, you know what? You want more than overalls. That's a good intention. Mm-hmm. That's all that is. You want more than that.
Amen.
And God wants more out of us than what we're giving him. So hopefully this week we'll cover some of those things. Because you want more than just good intention. It means taking the right action. This is I'm going to say straightforward step. That is as simple as putting on your clothes. That's how simple that would be. Every Christian is in a continual education program. A lot of times people, oh, you can't tell me nothing. I know this, I know that. That's the wrong attitude. More we know about Christ and his work, the more we are being changed to be like him. We're being changed from one image to another. But it'll never happen until you become a doer of the word. Why? Because this process is a lifelong. So we must never stop learning. Please understand that. We must never stop obeying. There is no justification for just drifting along. There's no right in there. But there is an intense, let's see how to put this one. There's a desire should be to please the Father. That's what our desire should be. Our desire to find God's treasures. We should be want to groom ourselves like him. I know it takes practice, ongoing. None of us have arrived. Paul said we're pressing this way.
Amen.
Review what it means to be patient. Review certain scriptures to say, well, wait a minute, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Keep in line with what God's will is for us. The Christian church should have no barriers or things that would hinder them from being ongoing to better educating themselves in the Word of God. That shouldn't be no competition. It should be all love, brothers and sisters. So what Paul says here, I'm not saying he's offering some kind of strategy to help us live for God on a day-to-day basis, but I'm going to list five things here, and then we'll look at some of these scriptures, because it has to do with, first of all, forgiving. So let's go back and revisit. Well, I think I'll just take compassion and the word of God last. But let's go back and look at some of this. In Colossians 3:12-13, read that first. Because when I think about, we got to imitate Christ, man. We're to put on things based as Christians. But in 12 and 13, he tells us to put on, read 12 and 13 again. That's Colossians 12 and 13.
Colossians 3:12-13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. So chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you, compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense, forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. Amen.
Now, before we go any further, and believe me, I get it when he talks about in the 16th verse, but let Christ's word with all its wisdom and richness and all that stuff live in you. Remember, we are living epistles. So when he talks about put on, therefore, as the elect of God, let me tell you what all the elect of God have in common. They all have, first of all, they all have faith. Got to have faith. The God kind of faith. Not mankind. But all of God's elect have faith in his word. And most of all, they all have faith. Everybody that enter into the family of God. According to Romans 10, we'll go there. In Romans 10:9-10, all of God's family have this in common. From the King James Version, if you'll be so kind to read Romans 10, verses 9 and verses 10 first.
Romans 10, 9 and 10 in the King James Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen.
Amen. Here's the Message Bible. The word that saves is right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest. It's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God. Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul. God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. Amen.
Amen.
Entering into the family of God requires all of us to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ over our lives. And then the 11th verse kind of sums this thing up. It says, and then if you could just get to this, because this is how he climaxes by saying, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You shouldn't be ashamed. You got serious issues if you're ashamed of the Lord. Oh, this is not the proper faith. The devil is a lie. What can I talk about God at? I ain't seen a place. I haven't seen a person that I can't share the word of God with.
Amen.
We are living epistles, the word living in us. So when you confess the word and it begins to live in you, take hold of your life. That's why you become a living epistle. You started by confessing your lordship of Jesus Christ over your life. See, you see, the recognition of the lordship of Jesus Christ is the condition on which we receive eternal life. I receive my eternal life. I'd rather have eternal life than have all this other stuff. I think, Kurt Franklin put it this way. I'd rather have Jesus than have silver and gold.
Mm-hmm.
See, that has to become more than a song, man. You have to mean that. If you don't know nothing, no, you can't take silver and gold when you leave here. That you can't take with you.
Amen.
But I'm certain you can take Jesus when you leave here. You don't have to go no farther than the cross. The two men who died on that great day of death.
Yeah.
I know you can see that. They all died for different reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Jesus was able to take that one thief with him. He says, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. See, I'd rather have Jesus, because you're going to leave here. And my question is, what can you take with you to the other side? Some little boy said, nothing but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. So you can't be ashamed. Because see, if you're ashamed of him, he said, I'll be ashamed of you to own you before my Father. Forget about these folks, people. Forget about hearsay. You don't want Jesus to get to the where he rejects you because you rejected him. See, he's not going to reject us till we reject him. That has to become clear. That's one of the first things you start doing. Believe in your heart. It means that our spirit act upon the word of God. So with the heart, man believeth that Jesus is his righteousness. That's what we believe in. We believe in Jesus is my righteousness. So I don't have to deal with my sin. I'm believing Jesus is my righteousness. Then it makes a confession of his salvation or lordship over here. My lordship is, I truly believe this. And remember Matthew 6? Well, maybe we need to read that. Well, I guess it's kind of long, too long to quote, but in Matthew 6:25-34, we'll read that. This will be our last scripture, hopefully, for today, unless the Lord say otherwise. But in Matthew 6:25, see, you got to confess his lordship. So once you began to confess Jesus as your lordship, you ain't got to worry. You know he's going to take care of you. You know that. You can be assured that he's going to take care of you. So you like to read that out of the King James Version?
Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit into his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and the morrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm sorry. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And reading from the Message Bible, if you decide living a life of God. Okay, let me go back and read that. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtime or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God, and you count far more to him than birds. Has anyone, by fussing in front of the mirror, ever gotten taller by so much an inch? All this time and money wasted on fashion. Do you think it makes that much difference? Instead of looking at the fashions, walk out into the field and look at the wildflowers. They never crimp or shock. But have you ever seen color and design quite like it? The 10 best dressed men and women in the country look shabby alongside them. If God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People don't know God, and the way he works has fussed over these things. But you know both God and how he works. Seek your life in God's reality, God's initiative, God's provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, this is a lot to unpack, but let me put it to you this way. Jesus gives his bird eye view, pretty much, his bird eye view of the Father's attitude toward his own children. So this was written for the new creation. Let me say that first. Because the Jews could not understand it. Notice, this is not to be anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your own body, what you shall put on, according to Matthew 6:25. He literally, if you'll see, he's illustrating the Father's care for the birds and say, are not ye much more valuable than they are, in verse 26? You have to see this like that. You got to see how God see your worth. He said, you're better than that grass out there who grow up today and cut down and goes to the fire tomorrow. You're more than that to God. And then we look at the wisdom in worrying over finances. Stop worrying about finances, brothers and sisters. Somebody, oh, well, it's easy for you to say, no, I'm probably right where you are. But I'm not finna worry about it. That's not going to be my concern. Like Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They ain't doing nothing. And they don't toil, no, neither do they. He said, but you know what? God doeth clothe them. God take care of them. I was looking at the other day how the trees just grow green leaves on them. Somebody might think that's automatically. No, God clothes those trees. And then right now, he's making them naked. Sometimes you got to strip away some stuff. Stuff that's been holding you back. You got to get rid of it and get ready for the new growth. Can I say that again? Get ready for the new growth. God want to do a new thing in your life. But he can't because you're hindering it. You want to keep on with the old stuff. For a long time, I didn't understand why my mother would go in there in the closet and she would get rid of all last year's stuff. Well, I just thought because we outgrowed it, this, that, and this stuff. But if you want some new stuff, you got to get rid of some of the old stuff. But we got to know that, hey, God got you. Not just part of you, all of you.
Yeah.
But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? So he said to him, O ye of little faith, be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? See, that's that Gentile mentality. All they worry about the stuff you can feel, see, touch, smell. That's all they worried about. But maybe I won't use that strong of a word, worry. Maybe that's their concern. That's what the Bible says. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. That's what they're looking for. He said, don't you know your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of this stuff? And then he comes up with this by climaxing it in the 33rd verse. He said, but seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, when people read that, they think you're supposed to run in some church. They do. I've been there. Seek you first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you. Well, we've been blindsided by thinking that the kingdom of God is in some building, and it's not. The kingdom of God, according to Romans, I think it's 14:17, that is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's see what God has for us. Let's do that one. Forget about what people have taught us. Forget that garbage. See what God is teaching you anew right today because you are a living epistle. The Bible says we are in his kingdom according to Colossians 1:13. Now, there's an awesome, I said that was going to be the last scripture, but I have a whole bunch of more. But when I think about that, in Colossians 1:13, we'll just say this one, then I'm going to shut it off right there, for real. For real, for real. In Colossians 1:13, read that.
Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen, amen.
Amen. Colossians 1:13 from the Message Bible. God rescued us from dead in alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loved so much. Amen.
So we are in his kingdom now. We are part of his government, which is righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. That's God government, not some building, not some organization. Mm-mm. We're set up in God's kingdom. And you can't be ashamed of this. Who have delivered us out of the power of darkness. Now catch this. You got to catch this right here. This revelation right here. Who have delivered us out of the power of darkness and... just didn't do one part. He did all this like kind of in one stroke. And translated us into his kingdom of the Son of his love. Woo!
Amen.
See how he did that? He took you out of one and dried you off before he put you on the floor. Maybe somebody missed that. Let me say this again. See, I want you to see how he did this. He translated us. To translate us. Now, y'all help me here, if you will, and we can close. We can get on up out of here. How you translate something?
To change it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else? How you translate?
Take it from something being old and put into something new.
Okay. Y'all come on and help me out now. It's a little bit more to that, to being translated. We're translated.
Made different.
Okay. You're about to give me what I'm looking for.
The transfer?
Okay. Look at it like this. When you translate something, you turn it into something else of what it really to be, of what it means. Like, when I think about translated, I'm thinking about turning it into your own, making it your own. So when I think about translating, that's what he did to us. He made us his own. Woo! Man, if you could just see that. If you could see how he translated us, took us out of one thing and made us something else.
Thank you, Lord.
That's why it's important when people is speaking in tongues. You need to have somebody else translating so you can get the true meaning of it. See? But in translating anything, it's to express something as a text or a statement, for instance. So you put that in everyday terms. What are you saying? I'm going to reword it. That's what translation is. You're going to reword it. Well, what God did for us is so awesome, brothers and sisters, but you got to see it. Who have delivered us. First, he got us out of the mess. Then he turned around because we was in darkness. And then he made us into something different, which is his kingdom.
He
took us from darkness and made us light. He
took us
from not to do. He took us from the bottom to the top. He took us from being the tail to being the head. Somebody gonna get rid of this in a moment. Because see, we got translated. And the Bible says he translated us into the kingdom of his son. So we became like the word of God, man. That's what I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters.
Why
you think he tells us in that 16th verse in Colossians 3:16? Why you think he tells us that? Let the word of God dwell in you richly, a whole lot. Why? So you can be translated from image to image, from our to his likeness. He made Jesus to become sin so we could become his righteousness. We're being translated every day.
Yeah,
that's where we found this righteousness at. His righteousness. Can I say his righteousness?
Yeah.
Not me.
Amen.
That's why you think he says seek? And this word seek is that same word when you lost something. He that findeth the wife findeth the good thing. Well, when you find it, it's somebody who's seeking for one. If you ain't seeking for the God kind, well, then you won't find him. Got a lot of invitations out here. But the God kind is what you're seeking for. you're looking. So sometimes you're seeking for your glasses, and they may be on top of your head, but when you seek it, you're looking in the living room, the bathroom, the garage. You look over there in the car. You look over there in the backyard. Wherever you've been, you'll make that trip all around because you're seeking. And there they are right down your head. But it didn't stop you from seeking.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you're seeking, you're on a hunt for something. That's why we got to seek his righteousness, brothers and sisters. But seek ye first. Mm-hmm. This is the first thing you ought to be doing. Not going to some church. The first thing you ought to be doing. Don't put the cart before the horse. Old folks used to say that. Y'all may not know nothing about that. But they used to say, don't put the cart before the horse. Mm-hmm. And that's where we've erred in the past. We've taught people to do that. Don't teach people to do that. Well, you ought to go to the church and get your life right. No. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Then tell them what the kingdom of God is. See? We haven't been told that. That's what we've got to be teaching other people. We're going to reverse the narrative here. We're gonna change it. Don't go to church, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, you can seek the kingdom of God. I'm talking to you now, Pastor. You can seek the kingdom of God without going in the building. Do you hear me? You can seek God's face without going into a closet. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, the Catholics, they got it so that you come over here and seek God, and then some priest will talk to you and da-da-da-da. You don't need all that to seek God's face, man. You don't need all that to seek God's kingdom. And then he says, and, conjunction, and his righteousness, not man's righteousness. Because, see, man got a whole nother line of different layers of righteousness. He got different layers. Yeah. Depending on who you are, how much money you got.
Mm-hmm.
Help me, Holy Ghost. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. If you got some right amount of money, you know, you don't have, bypass all that, because he is politicized just like everything else. If you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, you ain't got to go through all this. Come on up here to the pulpit. Your name, Tyler Perry.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Isn't that something? Man named Tyler Perry. So you can go up here and lay hands on Bishop Tutu, whatever his name is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because of his money and his status. But brothers and sisters, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I tell them all, you need to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Righteousness.
All right.
Amen.
Anybody have any comments? Before we close, I know we stayed a little long today, but it's okay. Anyone, any comments on anything? Hallelujah. Well, if not, we'll see y'all on tomorrow for the word.